Please take a seat. And Lord, as we come to look at your word today and we look at the subject of forgiveness, Lord, I pray that you'll help our hearts to be open before you, that we can look with an open heart to the forgiveness that you've extended to us. May we have a deep appreciation for that. May we be able to extend forgiveness to those who have wronged us. And may we be able to receive the forgiveness that others offer. And may we be able to forgive ourselves when we need to. In Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus the game changer and forgiveness. Now, I used to go to an Anglican church and we used to say a prayer of confession at every week, I think it was. Has anyone ever experienced that? And it went something like this, and we'd all say it together. So maybe just let's get our hearts right before God, and let's just have a prayer of confession, just to get us in the right tone for what we're going to look at today. So let's say this together. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have gone our own way and broken your laws. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to please you more and more. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The other night on Jesus the Game Changer, we looked at the story of Hashim Garrett. Forgiveness is at the heart of the reason why Jesus went willingly to the cross. And this story of Hashim Garrett, he was born in Brooklyn, and his parents split up when he was quite young, and then his mother had a partner who was a violent man towards Hashim. And he was in a rough neighborhood, and he was picked on at school by the gangs. So he thought the way to not be picked on was to join a gang, and then they would give him, you know, an element of protection. And he said that worked fine when there was someone else to pick on, but when there was no one else to pick on, they picked on him. But it gave him a level of protection. One day he was walking down the street, and another guy from another gang walked past him and didn't say anything. But his friend that was with him said, "Run." And he turned around, and the guy that walked past him had pulled out a machine gun and started firing. And he started running, and he felt something sharp into his back, and that was the bullet going into his spine. And he was paralyzed instantly. He was taken to hospital and to start the long process of rehabilitation and recovery. He was 15 years old, and he had to suddenly contemplate a life without the use of his legs. And he said he got depressed and he got desperate. And his mum came in and gave him a Bible and said, "You should read this, Hashim." And he said, "No, I'm not going to read that." But he did. He started to read the Bible, and it changed his life. One of the passages that became very important to him was a passage about forgiveness. This is where Peter asked Jesus, how often should he forgive someone who'd wronged him? Matthew 18. Then Peter came to Jesus and said, "Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? No, not 7 times, Jesus replied, but 70 times 7. Some versions have it as 77 times, some as 70 times 7. Either way, it's a lot of forgiving. Hashim read said 70 times 7. He said, "I was 15 years old and I was doing the maths. 70 times 7. He said, "That's a lot of forgiving." He made 2 decisions in response to reading that passage. First, he decided to follow Jesus, to put his life and his future in Jesus' hands. Secondly, Hashim sensed that Jesus was calling him to forgive. He started to forgive all the people who'd wronged him in his life. He forgave his parents for divorcing. He had to forgive his stepfather for being abusive towards him. he had to forgive the kid who shot him. But he said the hardest part was he had to forgive himself for some of the decisions that he made, for some of the choices that he made. To have a fresh start as a follower of Jesus, he found release by offering forgiveness to all those people and to himself. And now he goes into schools. He started something called the Forgiveness Project. He goes into schools and encourages children at schools to not react to violence with other violence, but to react to violence with forgiveness. And he said, Martin Luther King Jr. Said, forgiveness is not an occasional act. It is a constant attitude. One thing that Hashim and Martin Luther King Jr. both shared was this struggle to forgive. It is one thing to say, I forgive you. And you hear some of the stories in the news where something bad has happened, parents will have lost a child to a drunk driver or something, and they'll say, we forgive that person, we don't hold a grudge. And you think, wow, how can they do that? You know, that's really, really, really noble of them to be able to do that. But Hashim said, it's one thing to say that, but you don't just suddenly switch off those feelings. Some days you can let it go. Sometimes in the middle of the night, all his resentment and anger would come back. Why did that kid shoot me? I've lost the use of my legs. My whole future has changed. He's married. He has children. He goes to the beach. He can't teach his kids how to swim. He can't teach his kids how to ride a bike. That's been taken from him. And even though he forgave that kid for shooting him, sometimes it's a constant attitude, a deliberate choice to forgive, not just a feeling that goes away. A daily attitude, even to those who aren't even seeking your forgiveness. Forgiveness matters. And Jesus made this point in two passages. The first one is Matthew 6. This is part of what we call the Lord's Prayer. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. And this is the only part of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus actually interprets and commentates on, is on forgiveness. Jesus says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, I believe that those of us who have faith in Jesus Christ, those of us who've given our lives to Jesus Christ, have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us, and God will never take that away from us. So we can't lose our salvation, I don't believe. I believe that the day that you give your life to Christ, you are guaranteed that you'll be with God for all of eternity. But that doesn't mean that how we live our lives won't affect how God allows things to happen in our life. I'm not saying that if you're a bad person, that bad things will happen to you, because we know that sometimes the wicked prosper in this life, in this world. But maybe this life won't be as good if we don't take seriously Jesus' command to forgive others. There's a lady that works in Baptist care. Her name's Beth, and her husband's name is Alec. And Alec was driving along and he had a heart attack. Crashed the car caught fire. He was clinically dead. The emergency service came and put out a fire, and they found a man suffering a heart attack. And they took him to hospital and they revived him. And he says, when he was clinically dead, he had one of these afterlife experiences, these near-death experiences. He found himself not going into a tunnel full of light, though. He found himself into a dark place. Now, he's a Christian. And an angel came beside him and said, that place over there, that dark place, that's hell. And that's where the people who don't have faith in Jesus are sent to suffer in their wickedness. But outside of hell, this is the thing that messes with my theology, there were Christians and they were bound, like in handcuffs. And the angel said, these are the Christians who haven't practiced forgiveness. Now, Alec would be willing to come and share that story, but it just messes with my theology too much, because a Christian shouldn't be in the presence of hell. I can't fathom. It messes, like I said, it messes with my theology. But what it did is it made me realize and made me think again about forgiveness, how important it is to forgive others, not just for their own sake, but just how much Jesus places a great importance on our need to forgive others. Secondly, the reason why forgiveness matters is we don't realize how much we've been forgiven. I'm not saying forgiveness is easy. We've all been hurt by someone in our lives, and we all struggle. And maybe you're even thinking about that person right now. But put it into context. This picture is by Domenico Fetti, 1620. The parable of the unmerciful servant, and you'll find that in Matthew 18, verses 23 to 35, and I'll just read that. Matthew 18, 23 to 35. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. It's equivalent to $1 million in today's money. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will repay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. Of course, a servant, you know, is someone who is on the lowest wage that you could possibly be on, and yet he's promising to pay back a debt of $1 million. And his master forgives the debt. But when that servant went out, verse 28, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is about a day's wage. So it's not insignificant for a servant, but it's not $1 million. He grabbed him and began to choke him, which is what's depicted here, the unmerciful servant, not forgiving the debt of his fellow servant. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. And the whole point is the debt is huge. There's no way someone on a servant's wage could pay back the equivalent of $1 million. And yet his master forgave him. A huge amount to forgive. And the debt that his fellow servant owed him is not an insignificant amount, but couldn't he have forgiven that? He'd just been forgiven $1 million. Can't he forgive, what's the minimum wage for a day, you know, $200 or something? Couldn't he forgive that? And because he didn't forgive him, the forgiveness was taken back. We have been forgiven an enormous amount. Shouldn't we forgive others? Now I acknowledge that some of us have been very, very hurt by others, and it can be hard to forgive. Have you heard of this guy, Simon Wiesenthal? He's known as the Nazi Hunter. He was a Jewish man. He was in a concentration camp during the Second World War. And after the war, he, by his own volition, went seeking after Nazis who escaped from Germany and gone to places like South America. And he brought at least five of them back to face the consequences of what they'd done during the Second World War. And he wrote a book called The Sunflower on the possibilities and limits of forgiveness. And he said when he was a concentration camp inmate, he was sent to a hospital, to work at a hospital. And a nurse came and fetched him and said, there's an SS soldier and he's dying and he wants to forgive a Jew before he dies. So Simon went and the guy said, I was an SS soldier and I did some terrible things. I was in Poland and there was a house and it had 300 Jews in there and we burnt the house and anyone who tried to escape we shot. And he said, I've been racked with guilt since the day I did it. And now as I'm dying, I just need to ask a Jew to forgive me. Will you forgive me? Simon Wiesenthal turned around and walked out. Didn't say a word. Didn't grant him forgiveness. Couldn't forgive him for what he'd done. Couldn't forgive him for all the hurt that he and his family had experienced. And later he wrote a book. The book is called The Sunflower on the Possibilities and Limits of Forgiveness. And he wrote to a bunch of people and said, should I have forgiven that soldier? And 53 people wrote back. And the book is about what the different people said. And if you go on Wikipedia and type in Simon Wiesenthal, The Sunflower, there's a list of all the people who wrote back and all their answers. All the Jews that wrote back said, no, don't forgive. All the professors and academics that wrote back said, no, don't forgive. A bunch of Christians wrote back. Half of them said, forgive. Half of them said, don't forgive. One of the ones who said, forgive, who wrote back and said, forgive, was Archbishop Desmond Tutu from South Africa. If anyone had the right to say, don't forgive, it would be him. Yet he was one of the few that said, forgive. Powerful stuff. Each of our lives are different, of course. Each of us have to deal with the actions that others inflict upon us. We've all been hurt and abused and wounded at some point. And the scars of those wounds go deep. And to forgive people can seem like an impossible task. It's not easy to forgive. But failing to forgive is hard as well. I would suggest that failing to forgive is harder than forgiving. Because unforgiveness keeps us in bondage. All that turmoil, all that trouble, we internalize that. Sometimes we harbor a grudge against someone and they don't even know it. They're living a life, they're living a great life in complete ignorance that we're holding a grudge against them and yet it's eating us up from the inside. Sometimes we know we need to let it go, but we don't know how to. The struggle is real, but the power of forgiveness can be refreshing. On the Jesus the Game Changer video, they interviewed a lady called Paula Gooder, and she's a Greek scholar, and she says the Greek term that is used in the New Testament for forgiveness is the same term that you'd use for letting go of a balloon. It means to let go. You let a balloon go and off it goes. Although I think you get in trouble for doing that now. If you go outside and let a balloon go, there'll be a ban on that. So it might have to be a metaphorical balloon. Some people say you should get a balloon and write down the things that you're harboring against someone and let it go. But they might put a stop to that one day. So do it soon. Or another thing I've heard people do is they write it down on a piece of paper, all the things that they're holding against someone. And then they burn that piece of paper. letting it go. And the people who need forgiveness have to let it go as well. The significance of the story of the unmerciful servant comes to each of us as we read the words of Jesus. If you are forgiven such a great debt, why don't you extend that same forgiveness to the person that owes you? The point that Jesus is making is that if we are forgiven, it gives us the motivation to forgive others. If we know how much God has forgiven us in Jesus Christ, a debt that we couldn't repay before him, it gives us the motivation to forgive others. And it increases our capacity to forgive. That's the foundation of the message of Jesus. The whole message of Jesus is forgiveness. The opportunity to experience forgiveness through God, through Christ, and the capacity to extend forgiveness to others. One person at a time, which is what Jesus did. Jesus lived 3 years of ministry on this earth. He didn't start the church. He didn't write a book. He just influenced one person at a time. And the world was changed. So he calls us to forgive people one at a time as the need arises. And through that, we will have the power of forgiveness, the gift of grace, and change, the change that is lasting, the change that we have to keep on working at, but a lasting change. That is the power of forgiveness. So I have here a prayer of forgiveness that I will pray. And maybe you might want to pray this in your heart, that we will have from God the power to forgive. Let us pray. Father, may we have the power to forgive. Give us the grace to unconditionally forgive those who have done us wrong. Give us the strength to let go of grudges and unforgiveness like we would let go of a balloon. Give us the strength to forgive ourselves for our failings and our sins, knowing that you have already forgiven us through faith in Christ. We pray for those whom we've wronged as the church and as individuals. Give us the strength to ask for forgiveness. We pray for any who are withholding forgiveness that we have asked them to forgive us. And give us the peace that comes from knowing how much you have forgiven us. Free us from all anger, bitterness, hate, and unforgiveness. Lord, maybe we have someone on our heart right now who we know we need to forgive, but it's hard. Help us, Lord, to release that person so that we can release ourselves from the burden of unforgiveness. And Lord, maybe we need forgiveness from someone and they're not granting that to us. Lord, I pray that that person who some of us might be thinking of, I pray that they will have the grace to grant forgiveness to us. And if they don't, Lord, may your Spirit comfort us, knowing how much we've been forgiven by you, how much our actions throughout our life, our self-centered actions, every time we've done what we're not supposed to do, every time we didn't do what we were supposed to. Help us know the power of your forgiveness for us so that that can change us and that we may live a life of peace through the forgiveness that you offer us. And lastly, help us to forgive ourselves, Lord. We all have things that we look back and we regret and we say to ourselves, I wish I didn't do that. I wish I'd done things differently. And Lord, sometimes we hang on to that. And it affects our lives going forward. So Lord, you have forgiven us. Help us to forgive ourselves and give us an opportunity to do better next time in your goodness and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.